Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Folks, welcome to the Weight Loss Injection Revolution podcast. I have a good friend of mine on the show today who I've met in the last few months as I'm running a hospital district in Central California. She's a great doctor. Her name is Dr. Valerie Savelli in family medicine, board certified, also has some experience in anti-aging and previously ran a holistic and regenerative medicine practice. Welcome to the show, Valerie.
Thank you so much for having me on. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you on. I know this is an area that you're really passionate about. So let's jump right into it.
Let's do it.
You have, let's say you have a patient in her 40s or 50s that comes to you and says, Dr. Savelli, I'm really seriously considering going on Ozempic or one of the other weight loss injections. What would your series of questions and points be with that individual? Because folks who listen to the show are either considering starting their journey or are on their journey. We're going to cover both with you today.
Yeah, great. So I come across this every single day, actually, from my friends, from my family, from patients. It's just one of those things. Does the medication work? Yes. But I always like to make sure we doing things safely and what is the motivation. You know, to any friend, even if they were looking to lose 5 pounds, it's not so much about how much weight somebody's trying to lose. It's more about, you know, just reaching those goals in the right way. So I don't know, definitely the major contraindications to consider would be any thyroid cancer. Sorry, I just got a call.
All right.
Yeah, any history of thyroid cancer. Now, there's different types of thyroid cancer. So even if you have had it, my next question would be, well, what kind did you have? And most people don't know that. So typically, I would just get records and just confirm it's not the medullary type. If it is, then we would just take a different path. In terms of safety profile, so it's a safe medication. It acts at three different points, you know, slows your digestive tract, makes you feel full longer. It does protect the heart. They've, you know, done a lot of research and found that it does prevent heart attacks and strokes. I think more research is needed in terms of, does that prevent the first one or the second one, which is, you know, that secondary prevention coverage. It's a way of speaking the medical terms of, you know, is it your first or your second stroke or first or second heart attack? But yeah, I think it's a good medication. It's very safe. So I'm more likely to prescribe it when asked, even if it is for just straight up vanity, honestly. Yeah. It's not like I'm condoning the skinny culture. I don't like to throw labels like that. I think that kind of cheapens the way that people feel. I think that also takes away from the fact that more weight means more problems. You know, if you are at your lower weight, you feel better. Of course, ideally we think you look better, but that's, you know, the culture.
Do you have reservations about people staying on it for the long term? There's a lot of dietitians and folks that are now recommending, hey, this is a permanent thing to their clients. So do you have any strong feelings on that one way or the other?
I don't. I think if something works, then do it. Okay. The safety profile, you know, from what the data has shown us is very, very good. So it's one of those things, you know, if you think of any hormone or any supplement that you're giving your body, the most correct answer is that you do pulsatile therapy. So you give yourself a few weeks break of anything. Okay. Does it mean everyone does that? No. And sometimes you even, you know, develop a dependence on things. And then if you don't give your body that, then there's the rebound. So people do fear weight gain after But I mean, food is a drug too. So anything you're giving your body, you remove it, you're going to rebound or have some sort of aftermath.
One of the questions I'm sure you get a lot, and we get a lot on the show, and it's funny because what you said is the exact reason I started doing a podcast is I've had a couple of award-winning podcasts through the years on like whatever the new hot medical or healthcare trends are. And when my wife and I started on this journey, everybody was asking us all of these same questions. And so one of the questions I want to ask you that I'm sure you get is what type of food should you be consuming when you are on these injections to make sure that your body is staying healthy? Because remember, there's people who say, I'm not hungry and I don't eat at all. Well, that's not the right approach. So tell us what is the
It's
right approach.
not. I love this question. Yeah, so I think tending towards like water-based foods, protein-based foods, and then everything else can come after that. So you're going to crave the carbs. Like that carbohydrates are a drug for a body. That gives you straight dopamine. You're going to love it. You're going to want it no matter what drug you're on in life. So I think forcing yourself to choose in that order of water-based foods, protein first. And then if you're still hungry, fine, go for the carb. Carbs are not bad. I'm not bashing carbs. I'm not an anti-carber. But I think definitely the order of your food choices would benefit from that process.
Cool. So one of the, if you will, negative bits of research that's come out, and there hasn't been a lot about the GLP-1s injections, is that early research is showing that that more muscle mass is getting burnt than other traditional quote unquote diet fad diets. I don't want to call the injections a fad diet, but normally it would be 20 to 24%, give or take, and the rest would be body fat. With the injections, it's proving to be closer to 30 to 34%. So, assuming that is true, and I think we should all assume it's true because it's something to be aware of if you're on the injections. What things should I and others be doing to maintain strong muscles and make sure we're not promoting that enhanced deterioration of muscle mass?
This is a good question too. So, zooming out just for a moment to look at different industries, bodybuilding, for example, their job is to look good, not to feel good. They will use this medication, for example, it's super common at the cutting phase where they've built the muscle and now they need to lean out. You'll see that being used for, I don't know, like a month before. So it's a short-term thing for them. It depends on your goals, right? That's why I ask my girlfriends or family, patients, what are your goals? Because if you just want to drop the weight and not so much build the muscle, then, your dose might be higher. You're likely going to be on this longer. But if you want to build muscle and that's your main focus, which I think is a great healthy goal, you could even do like a lower dose, but make sure your caloric needs are being met.
Yeah.
Input output.
Personally, I've never been a protein shake guy, particularly as a meal replacement. I have done some of the protein shakes, but usually it's because I mix them with my very large Trenta iced black coffee from cold brew from Starbucks, and it tastes kind of like a treat when you're on a diet. So other than that, I haven't done a lot of the protein shakes, but one of the things I did when this early research about enhanced muscle deterioration came out was I started doing more protein shakes, maybe once or twice a week, and not even so much as a meal replacement, but just making sure once or twice a week I was calculatedly intaking more protein than I might normally. So that's one of the
Good.
ways I've approached it as well. So
Whatever it takes to get the protein in.
yeah, that's right. That's right. So let me ask you about have you had any clients or friends that have been on the injections that just a few months later came back and said, Dr. Savelli, this just isn't working for me. What am I doing wrong? Do you have any suggestions? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
There's always that. I mean, that's habits. You can't out eat any medication, not insulin, not anything. It's one of those things you have to have the discipline. There's no easy button. This is not an easy way out, as they say. I cringe when I hear that term. Nothing is easy in life. If you're going to lose weight, it's going to be through discipline, diet, exercise, and then there's support systems in place, such as medications and other therapies. You know, you could even have a gastric bypass. We could surgically reduce your stomach size and you can still overeat that. So yeah, it's behavioral. You know, the question is, why do people eat? Is it emotional? There's so much psychology, you know.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Behind food and cravings and all of that. So I think it's a deeper issue, and I would go more in depth into lifestyle in those patients.
So you've been really open about the fact that you're a believer that, you know, long-term or short-term, just a little overweight or a lot overweight, you've said, hey, like, let's just look at you as an individual and come up with a plan that's best for you. So if somebody came to you and said, hey, doc, I like your approach. You seem pretty open-minded. You've done your research. You don't see a ton of concerns. But I want you to tell me, and I'm going to do whatever you tell me, how much should I take for an injection? Should I scale up? How long should I take? How much weight should I lose? Let's just say somebody's 30 pounds overweight. What would you say is the ideal track for them? How long should they? Because, you know, everybody wants to get in there and lose it in 2 months, and that's never healthy, but people still do it anyway.
That's actually not true. How fast you lose weight, it doesn't determine health outcomes, and it's about keeping the weight off.
Okay, well, there you go. We're learning more as we go here.
Right? Fun fact. I know, because I hear that too all the time, and then I actually like looked into that specifically. So it does not have a correlation directly with the outcomes and the actually even the ability to keep the weight off. People are going to rebound when they're going to rebound. And it's just a matter of time. And the most definitive factor of success is the lifestyle, the discipline every single day. Discipline. And that's hard.
Yeah, there's no question about it. So in terms of the side effects, are there any that are more concerning for you than the others? I mean, the ones people hear most about are nausea, regurgitation. At times, there's more people saying they're losing their hair. Are any of those more concerning than others for you as a physician?
You know, I look at the patient as a whole and their functioning and their level of responsibilities and their purpose for this journey in the first place. If there is the temporary hair loss, you know, that means that your body is undergoing a shock. Right? You're undergoing a stress. It is transient, meaning it's temporary. I would then give vitamin support to supplement that deficit.
Yeah.
So it's filling in those gaps where I see that they're bothersome to the patient. For the nausea, sometimes I could give a medicine for that, like Zofran or Reglan, but really also just modifying what they're choosing to eat, how the volume, it's usually a volume-based problem. Yeah. So reduction of how much their intake is at a time. And then to answer your last question, because I just realized I didn't answer that. So dose-dependent, you know, I would say the goal would be to get somebody to 1 milligram and 1 to 2 milligrams. That's where you see that highest therapeutic window where you have the most loss.
Yeah. Interesting. So
yeah,
one of the things that I know about myself is because my wife and I tend to go boating in the summer, in June and July, I tend to gain usually 10 or 20 pounds just because I'm on the lake more, which means I'm eating more snack food, which I don't normally eat a lot of, probably consuming a few more adult beverages than I would in a normal day. Because later in the day when we're done boating, I start to pick
yeah.
a little bit. And then by August 1, I'm usually 20 to 25 pounds heavier than I was in May, no matter what I try, because I'm spending less time exercising and being active and more time sitting on a boat doing unproductive things that help me gain weight. So what would you say if I came to you 3 years in a row and said, hey, I'm going back on the shot for 2 months, August 1st through the end of September? Do you see any concerns with that? I know it's not a long-term strategy. It's probably not a good long-term strategy, but would you see any problems with it based on what you know now if that became my annual routine to just go back on the injections for 2 months?
So again, I'm a supportive physician. I feel like I'm not trying to change you as a person. I know you're going to be who you are and live your best life. And everyone's definition of that is different. But from a safety standpoint, I mean, I would recommend let's change out your snack options. If you know yourself and you know you're prone to this 20-pound weight gain, I mean, yeah, that's problematic for your body, your comorbidities. You know, there's things that are associated with that. And if I could dial up your Ozempic to dial you down a little bit from the snacks, yeah, I mean, I would do it. You know that this is your pattern.
So maybe you're saying you should actually do it in June and July so you're not as hungry on the boat, right? Because there are people that have said, I hadn't thought about that, but that's a great suggestion. A lot of people have said it's made them not crave alcohol as well. So something to think about. And I think for most people, what I just described is probably their Thanksgiving through January 2nd routine, right?
Which is
I'm going to eat whatever I see.
Yes.
From Thanksgiving Thursday all the way until the day after New Year's when I wake up and go, holy crap, 25 pounds, right? So there's a great tidbit that came out of this show that you got a little extra for your money's worth is maybe go on the shots in November and December, and then you won't have to gain as much weight or lose as much weight after the fact. So this has been great.
I'm okay with that.
Dr. Savelle, yeah, and you've been really encouraging. So I think everybody's going to be like, hey, how could she be my primary care physician? So do you have a website or a LinkedIn page, Dr. Savelle, where people can find you?
Oh, gosh, I do have a LinkedIn. I don't know how interactive I am, but I can get better at that. And people can definitely reach out anytime. Valerie F. Savelle, MD.
Okay. So, Valerie, what's your middle initial?
F as in Frank.
F as in
but
Frank.
It's not
and
Frank.
Last name is C-I-V-E-L-L-I, correct?
Yes.
Awesome.
Good job.
So in closing, Dr. Savelle, could you share with us one healthy meal that's kind of a go-to for you that's healthy and low-cal that folks listening could say, hey, I could try that?
My favorite go-to on the regular is a taco salad. I do just a very lean ground beef with white rice. I don't skimp on the cheese. I think you need the healthy fats. I add in romaine, lettuce, and then a little scoop of sour cream, you know, and
how about any black
yeah.
olives? Can you throw black olives on there and it's still healthy?
Absolutely. Oh my gosh, I love that.
Jalapeno.
So, yes.
Jalapeno. Okay.
Yes.
Tomato, a little salsa to make it.
I love tapatio. I should just carry that in my purse. I love it. That's my go-to.
That's a problem. That's for a whole nother podcast episode. Well,
right?
All right. Thank you so much for joining the show, folks. It's been the Weight Loss Injection Revolution podcast. Check Dr. Savelle out on LinkedIn if you want to reach out to her and learn more. Thanks so much for joining the show.
Thanks, Josh. Have a good day. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, didn't see that coming, and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.